chapter 30. We've got the end of chapter 30 and chapter 31. I don't think I'm going to read the entire section, although I think we'll get through the entire section. I'm going to read it kind of as we go, and we'll go over two or three sections, one section over three times. Let's start at the beginning of your new sheets. Chapter 30, verse 25. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away that I may go to my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you." And Laban said to him, "Please stay, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." Then he said, "Name me your wages, and I will give it." So Jacob said to him, "You know how I have served you and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now, when shall I also provide for my own house?" So he said, "What shall I give you?" And Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything. I will do this thing for me. If you will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages. So my righteousness will answer me for me in time to come, when the subject of my wages comes before you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it is with me." And Laban said, "Oh, that it were according to your word." So he removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and he gave them into the hands of his sons. Then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Now Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar, and of the almond and chestnut trees, peeled white stripes in them, and exposed the white which was in the rods, and the rods which he had peeled he set before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs, where the flocks came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. So the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. Then Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the streaked and all the brown in the flock of Laban. But he put his own flocks by themselves and did not put them with Laban's flock. And it came to pass, whenever the stronger livestock conceived, that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban, and the stronger Jacob. Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous, and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. This is God's word. I'm going to stop there, and we'll go through part of this, and then we'll come to the end, we'll do another section. First of all, we're going to ask Grover to come in. He's going to tell us a little bit about livestock. And
I'm going to go home and ask him about having if he bred them before the rods or whatever.
Yeah, there's some stuff in here I don't know about. Let's just say, okay, we ended last time with the last of the children after this kind of birthing competition. Two wives and two maidservants, and a daughter's born, and then finally, then God remembered Rachel, and the reference that God listened to her and opened her womb. And so it would appear that Jacob's advice to her that she pray and go to God, that he's not the one that provides children, but that it is God, that she has done, and so she receives a child. The name is Joseph. The Lord has added to me another son. That's actually her first one, but she had two with the maidservant. She considers those to be hers as well. With that, giving birth to Joseph, we see that when Rachel had born Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, it's time for me to go home. What does that tell you about Joseph?
About Joseph, the baby?
Yeah. Joseph, the baby?
He was the end? He was dying?
Jacob seems to have... Well, he did have to work 7 years for Rachel, and seven years for Leah, and seven more for Rachel.
Maybe, I'm not sure about this, but in order to take Rachel away from her father, had to have him, have her bear a child?
A child?
I don't know.
I've never heard of that. I don't know.
Well, Did Jacob think that Joseph was the promised one? I mean, the one that the line was going to come through? Because he expected it from Rachel rather than Leah, because Rachel is the one he loved.
Rachel is the loved one. When he finally gets a child from Rachel, you know, he's kind of, let's head on back home. It would appear that there's something to be said that he at least thinks now. He is done kind of with his 14 years that he has been there with Laban, but it would appear that Joseph is, the importance of him, that this would be the indication that it's time to head back. He talks to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place, to my country. Give me my wives, my children for whom I have served you, and let me go. For you know my service which I have done for you. It's universally understood, that is, both Jacob and Laban know what?
Joseph did a lot of cool stuff for Laban.
Joseph has been a faithful son-in-law. He has, and despite Laban's treatment of him and... what has gone on? You know what I have done for you. You know, and I have completed my service. It is time for me to leave and to go home at this point. 27, and Laban said, please stay if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by, I don't know, the New King James says experience. The actual Hebrew verb, nehashati, comes from, there's always a three root, and you can see the first three letters that are there. This is the word for divination. This is the word for auguries, and it actually, that verb, comes from the noun, you ready for this? The noun snake. The connection between those who practice divination and the snake, that this was, there was a connection, obviously, with that. what do we find here? It's the same word that is used with Balaam in other places. So you say, why does the New King James not say that this is divination? Yeah, there are times in which with divination you have to look hard at the omen of what is going on in order to figure out what it is. But I think it's simply the context, and I think they think, according to the context of this, that Laban, even though it has the word divination, that maybe it's just a more neutral way of using this. And there are times in which that is. I think they're dead wrong. I think they're dead wrong. Why do I see this? We're going to know that Laban's father, as well as Abraham's father, Haran's father, worshipped idols. We're going to find a little bit later that when they leave, Rachel steals her father, Laban's idols. We're going to find a little bit later that he makes reference to a god that is not the true God. That he would speak of his own witchcraft of sorts, it shouldn't surprise us at all. Karen?
But it seems strange that he would not see that just from experience. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because he's treated him poorly and he's been faithful and done what he agreed to do and more. So
you're saying over 14 years, he ought to just look at this and say, well, Jacob was a hard worker. I don't need to go to omens or some kind of thing of that. And yet that's exactly what he attributes his understanding.
Is this kind of like the liberals of today who confuse true worship, the true God with all the gods, you know? Kind of a spiritual...
Anything spiritual. Yeah.
Have faith.
Have faith in
what? Yeah, right.
I think it's interesting that Laban here basically admits that somehow or another he learned that Yahweh, which is what the Lord there means, that Yahweh has blessed me for your sake. Speaking about Jacob. Joseph, whoever we're talking about. Jacob. Yeah. He learned this from what? Not experience.
But we confuse everything spiritual. It's all thrown in one lump. You know, we don't say, well, actually the Lord God, the triune God is the one who taught me this. It's just God in general.
So Laban, I'm going to say, uses religion to justify his understanding. He is the one who, I don't know about you, but when I'm with people that know, that normally don't speak of God, all of a sudden it starts coming out their lips. Because the pastor happens to be there, so we might as well start talking about God and, you know, different things like that. And so pretty soon, you know, Laban goes, yeah, and yet you can tell by his words, though he sounds religious, though he is using God, though he even uses God's name, there's always little clues about those things that those who know better go, that doesn't sound quite right. You know, it's when someone says, oh yes, I've been brought up in Lutheran church all my life, and they call me Reverend, I go, yeah, I'm pretty sure you don't, you know, or when, you know. Anyway, there's little clues like that let you know.
Well, we do know by Rachel stealing his gods, his icons, that he worshipped for the gods. So therefore, to me, this means here that the Lord is just one of many gods to him. But he thinks this particular God is one that has blessed him at this point in time. He doesn't mean, yeah. It's just, to him, it's just one of many.
You know, this is, I'm a religious guy, you know, and I know how God is working through you and blessing me and doing this, and this is what he is saying. But universally, what Jacob has told him about my service, which I have done for you, he agrees.
It's okay, Pastor. We have Unitarian relatives. We know how this works.
Got it.
So what you're saying is that he's just speaking to his audience and trying to sound holy to convince him to stay. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
you think? Maybe?
I'm actually going to say that it's much worse than that. We're just starting to realize what's really going on here.
Buddha told me that Yahweh blessed me because of you.
That's kind of, and that's the thing that on the surface, that's kind of what it says. And we go, well, that's kind of odd, you know. But he's trying to speak of what, you know, who he is and what he has done. And you know, I got this. And so, you know, I know this kind of thing. And so then he says to Jacob, name me your wages and I will give it. I'll give it to you. Sounds like a really righteous dude.
until the next day.
But how has he treated him for 14 years?
Like a slave.
Like a slave. How has he treated his daughters?
Like slaves.
Yeah, I mean, look at all this. And yet he acts like, you know what? God is, you know, this arrangement has been really good, and God is blessing. What's the arrangement? He's in slavery.
Right.
He's worked for 14 years, and when he gets done, what does he have? He's got his two wives and four. He got children. Does he got anything? No. I mean, does that sound like? I mean, your dad. I mean, or even your father. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe in-laws are a little bit, but I mean, at least they treat you well because of the daughter, you know, and they want to make sure that things are taken care of. I don't think this is going on at all. And so at this point, when he says, yeah, no problem, just name your wages and I will give it. You haven't given me anything for 14 years. Do I really think that this is the way things are? Not at all. Jacob said to him, you know how I have served you and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now, when shall I provide for my own house? He said, just ask for it. And he says, no. I've been here for 14 years, and I've not yet I've blessed your household with everything. Jacob goes on and says, no, the Lord has blessed me. He corrects him, tells him exactly this. Why does he have to say this again? You know how I have done this. Don't give me this religious. When I came, how was Laban? Well, who's bringing the sheep out to the well?
His daughter.
His daughter was. Really? Either he didn't have that many sheep, or he didn't have enough, you know, or he works his daughters to the... I mean, Jacob says, you didn't have too much. You know, your daughter could take care of the sheep. Now, look at what's gone on over this time. He says it again. I need to provide for my own house. Now, before he said, just name it. Jacob just says, yeah, I didn't name it. I'm telling you, here's what's really going on. He doesn't buy it. And so he says, well, what shall I give you? Jacob sets up a situation. It's not about what Laban needs to give him. What do you give me? Well, give me 20% of what you got. I mean, I guess he could have said something like that. But he doesn't. Instead of setting up a you know, you should have at least provided for me in this way. He deals with something in the future, not with the past. Just, no, everything you have up to this point, fine, it's yours. But let's, from this point forward, have this little agreement where you have all the solid color and I have the speckled and the spotted, and he talks about, and we're going to separate it 3 days and we're going to take care of this. Why does he start from this point forward and not go back?
He's forgot about the past.
He's done with the past.
He's forgiven him for the crooked deal.
Well, he had made an agreement to work for those wives, and that's what he got.
And that's all he got.
Yep.
There was no generosity. There was no gratitude. There was no love, mercy, whatever. But fine.
This is my contract.
We will stop with that.
Yeah.
And so here's the way we'll do it from this point forward. And if we go forward in this way, if I receive lambs, goats, property, and whatever, you have to say it belongs to me. You have to say that that was God's doing. Whatever is in the past, fine, that's all yours, but we've got it set down. And then he says, if you find me with one of yours, then you can consider it stolen. Work out this agreement with my father-in-law, and you know, make sure that you know we sign the contract and get it notarized. And if it's not this way, then I will have stolen it. Why would you do something like that, Tony?
Because you've been there 14 years. That's what you're dealing with.
You know it.
It's no different. The contracts we sign it. Okay, we'll do this and this. There's your contract. It's all good. There's no more words and dad. All of that, it's like, this is yours, this is mine. If it's over here, you know, there's no question about it.
Right. If you're going to have Brian come over and have an agreement where he farms some of your land and you give him something, whatever, you kind of set it down and you do it. But when you have someone else, you sign the contract.
Yeah.
It's his own father-in-law.
Yeah.
But guess what? I know the way you are,
right. And
I know the way you treat me, and you probably have accused me during these years of taking more than what... No. I'll make sure that from this point there will be... You cannot say that I have done something wrong in this matter.
I'm a little confused with the contract, so... Did he go through the hers and take possession of the speckled ones, or so he did give him something? He didn't get nothing. He got part of his flock, and then anything born that way in the future. But it wasn't. But he did get something right then.
He did. So they separated out
20% or whatever. He got 1% of that flock.
That is true. Nevertheless, it is the normal procedure that the sheep would be white and the goats would be brown or something like that. And so that Jacob would say, I'll take the ones that are spotted or speckled and whatever.
It wasn't me.
Was not many. And I think Laban, you know, says, man, you know, this kid has no idea. What I mean, he could have chosen something else. Laban is thrilled. Great. That's what you want? You can have it. Let that be according to your word, and don't change it.
Well, I think one thing that Jacob is doing here is that, turn that back where you were, is that when he says in verse 29 and 30, for what you had before I came was little. And the increase of, and it has increased a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. Jacob is really saying to Laban, and you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm going to make this deal with you to show you what the Lord can really do. That's what's going on here. That's part of this contract. Because Jacob always uses Yahweh in this thing. He's actually witnessing to the power of God and pointing out to Laban that whoever he's divining these things from may know what they're talking about, but they can't do anything. Now I'm going to show you what's going to happen. And if you were watching Laban strip the bark off these trees, you'd say, what an idiot.
Jacob.
If you were watching that, what an idiot. What's he doing? Well, he's doing exactly what God seems to have told him.
Karn and then Mark.
With the giving Laban the sheep and goats without spots, was that the choice? Was that, I'm thinking into the Passover when God told him to take the lamb without a blemish. Do we know anything more about that? Is that historically, that's the best for the choice, those without spots, or
we know where before that?
Is it white eggs or brown eggs? They're both the same. They both taste the same. Culturally,
I just didn't know if culturally we don't know anything.
Culturally, when I was a kid, white eggs were a lot better than brown eggs. Yeah. Now, brown eggs are a lot better than white eggs.
More expensive anyway.
Well, yeah,
my dad couldn't sell his brown eggs for the same price he could sell the white ones for.
They were cheaper.
Yeah.
I have read, the only distinction, later it talks about the ones that are stronger and the ones that are feeble. Evidently, what they say is that there are two conceptions in the spring and the fall, and the spring conception normally brings forth sturdier animals, and so Jacob would do it during one mating season with the stronger, so he would get it, and then he would remove all of the apparatus for the fall, and then they would be normal, kind of according to Laban. And so there were some things like that where, with the quality, I didn't read anything that has to deal with the simply the color of the thing and all. I said Mark, and then we'll get a couple other.
In first reading of this, it looks like they make this deal, and then the next day Laban comes along and takes out all these things that he looks like he was given Jacob. But I don't think that's what's happened. You know, I don't want to give Laban any credit for doing an honest thing here, because it doesn't look like he ever did. But I think what this is the deal. Laban's not giving him anything because he says, don't give me anything. He's taking all these things out and giving it to his son. So Jacob's starting with a clean slate here, which makes what he does even more amazing.
Correct. And so over the next 6 years, he's worked 14. Over the next six, he sets this up. We find that Laban sees the way things are going and changes the agreement. Even though, yes, he said according to your word, but he says, okay, no, now we're going to do it this way. Oh, now we see it's going that way, so we're going to do it the other way. It doesn't matter what happens. Jacob still comes out ahead. I mean, the Lord still works it. And that's kind of what it shows, is 6 years of this. Despite this agreement, there is, as Jacob says, you've changed my wages 10 different times later, as he argues with that. So, Patty? Then.
This is kind of a side note. Historically, the brown and white sheep are known as Jacob's sheep, because I'm interested in all things sheep. And it's still a very common wool breed to this day, and they are like a piebald kind of, brown and white spotted. So, and they're still called Jacob sheep.
Interesting. Did someone else have a hand I missed?
No.
Pastor Rin said something that when you ask about this, it appears from this, my reading as well, that this is not Jacob's deception anymore, although it does end up, I'm going to say, Laban follows the agreement and doesn't like it because the Lord has told him, here's what you do. Now, what is this? I don't know. I don't even know if it's... But God says it's going to work this way and tells Jacob, here's what I want you to do. Why? We're going to find out later that Jacob says, God set this up so that I would be blessed. So we see at the end of this the rest of what is going on. But at this point, we've had 6 years of this changing everything. And in the end, thus the man Jacob became exceedingly prosperous. The Hebrew is weighed down with. He had large flocks, female and male servants. We're going to find out that Jacob even has servants that are having to take care of his stuff. These very well may be relatives, relations that go, or workers that he has hired that are with him, camels and donkeys. He has all of this, and it's been 6 years, and he's working, you know, with changing things and all, and yet God has made it so that he has he's been prosperous, and he has provided for his household. Let's go on. Chapter 31, verse 1. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's he has acquired all this wealth. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before.
Pastor, I have a question before you move on, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Verse 35, I'm confused about pronouns again. 35, so he removed that day the male goats. He is referring to Laban here, I believe, because that's what it looks like.
Right.
Okay, so Laban removed those and put them in the hands of his sons. Then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock.
Right.
It sounds like Laban put them in the hands of his son and took them somewhere. So how are those still Jacob's? And how does Jacob care for the rest of the flocks if he has to travel 3 days to get to his own flocks? Is there anything happening there, or is it just
those aren't Jacob's? See, Jacob's not getting those. He's going to start fresh from what he gets in Laban's flock.
He does. Jacob takes care of his flocks, or all the solid color ones, thinking they will reproduce solid color ones, and Jacob won't have anything.
So he did not get a part of his flock.
I intentionally slipped over that. And I'll tell you why. Because the commentary spent about 3 pages trying to explain, and explained how nobody really knows just exactly what the agreement was and how it was and where the flocks were and who had it and what their hand and all, and said, but the gist of the whole thing that you can see is that, and that's kind of what I presented. So, I mean, I can give you a little bit, because it seems it was different between the sheep and the goats, and it seems that they were apart, and then when they bore, did they separate them again? How did they do it? You're right, I didn't explain all that, because I'm not quite sure. But the real thing with that was, I just don't think that's going to have an effect on your Christianity tomorrow.
I got that part. But then when we go into 37, and Jacob does the stuff with the rods to make the... Is he working with Laban's flock, which is all white, when he does that? And they then have speckled...
Correct. That's so the implication. The implication is that he is... You might say in the same way, he's kind of sharecropping and getting a part. So what part does he get? Well, he's watching over Laban's sheep, but if the sheep bear, the all-white sheep bear speckled and spotted, he gets them.
He gets those. So he's trying to elicit that, and with God's help, and he does. So those then go with what the sons are keeping for Jacob.
Right, and so you keep having this separating out because he's watching over the flock of Laban, but depending upon what they produce, he's going to get it. I mean, that's the implication. But again, the technicalities of each one of those, does he get the section at the beginning, or does he get... I'm just not going to...
Gotcha. All right, thank you.
Well, I don't know.
I think it's obvious that Jacob is smart enough to realize that if he lets his sheep run with Jacob's sheep, or with Laban's sheep, he's never going to get it. Mm-hmm. He has to separate his flock away. Yeah. Now, we don't really know what happens with Jacob's flock, other than his sons are taking care of it. We do realize what happens with Laban's flock, because Laban's flock bear all the sheep and goats. They're the ones that Jacob is going to get.
At the end of the story, when Jacob leaves and takes his stuff and goes, Laban has gone out to shear his sheep and has gone a 3 days' journey away. So you at least get this understanding that they made sure that as things sorted out, whatever the wages were, however they got changed, Laban took his over here and Jacob had his over here. So that's the way it kind of works out at the end.
It seems consistent to me. I'm going to bog down in this. She said, I don't want anything from you. That it looks to me like Laban said, well, I don't want any chance that these spotted and speckled sheep are going to throw more spots. So he separated those out and took them away. And Jacob only got from that point forward out of that white flock. That would make sense to me all the way through that reading. So he had nothing when he started. He didn't have a flock separated out that was his. He got nothing except what was born.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. Now it's really making a lot more sense to me now that those, when he put his sons in charge of those sheep, the speckled ones, 3 days away, that was simply Laban's way of guaranteeing that Jacob would get anything.
And that's Laban's sons have the sheep.
Yeah. Well, they're not Jacob's.
Those are Laban's.
They're Laban's. They never become Jacob's.
He only gets what's born that point
forward.
Wow, that is another miracle then.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 31.
That's the whole point. It's a miracle.
Yeah, God's miracle.
And the other point of this is that what God speaks, no matter how foolish it sounds to our ears, a.k.a. Christ is going to die for your sins, but what he speaks is true. It's always true.
Chapter 32, I'll start with verse 1, or 31, verse 1. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's he has acquired all this wealth. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field, to his flock, and said to them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckle shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said thus, the streaked shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted up my eyes and I saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here I am. And he said, lift your eyes now and see all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. Let's stop there. If Laban's attitude, and he is a very greedy man, that weren't enough, his sons follow in his, or chip off the old block, as they say. And so they also are looking at Jacob saying, yeah, he's the one that's taken everything away. He came here and now he's getting it all. That's ours. That was our father's. And now look at what he has. He sees that the countenance, the face of Laban towards him, his attitude towards him, is even worse before. He was pretty favorable towards him when he was his slave and everything that he did produced for Laban. But now that it is resulting in stuff towards him, not so much. And sees that this is the situation. We have the Lord coming, and the Lord tells him, it's time to go. Return to the land of your fathers, to your family, and I will be with you. And so God, I don't know, would he have gone back at this time or at another time or whatever? But God tells him it's time to go. So he begins the leaving. He calls Rachel and Leah out into the field. What?
The walls have ears. The exactly. Walls have ears.
Uh-huh. All right, so what does that let us know? I mean, even his own house is not his own. And Laban has people, and this guy is a slave in his own household. His father-in-law is suspicious of him, doesn't like anything he's doing. Is Jacob doing rotten things? No, he's been faithful to him for 14 years. And at the end here, this is the way the Lord is providing for him and is doing it. You know all that I have done. He's changed my wages. I think he's given the example. Hey, if I did it this way, it came this way. I did it the other way, it did this way. No matter what had happened, each time they conceived, and guess what? I got all the stuff. Verse 11. Then the angel said to me, lift up your eyes and see all of this. For I, what? Have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I know exactly what's going on. And yet, the God of Bethel, you might remember when he had his ladder and the house of God, where there was a pillar and you made a vow. Well, I've kept my agreement. You have gone, and I'm getting ready to take you back. I have blessed you along the way. Return to the land of your family. Verse 14. What are Rachel and Leah? Why does he call them out? He wants to make sure that what?
They understand. Nobody else hears it.
Yeah, if you're...
They need to be on board.
They need to be on board, exactly. So, I've got this plan, but I want to make sure my wives are on board. After all, they are daughters of Laban. What is their response?
Yeah. Let's go.
They have to take it all out of stuff.
They don't have a too high a view of Laban. I find it a little... I mean, look at this. What happened? Our portion, our inheritance... You know, there's nothing for us here. He's not given us anything. He sold us. And then, as he provided, you know, other than Bilhah, Zilpah, other than the maidservants, nothing. We're strangers to him. He sold us. He's taken all, you know, whatever what was that he's consumed. That would be what Jacob gave for 14 years. All these riches, yeah, they really belong to you. But, okay, yeah, we're with you. I find it interesting, Luther spends several pages, he's a little worried because he thinks that Rachel and Leah have broken the fourth commandment in the way that they're speaking about their father. I thought, that's interesting. True! Luther doesn't say it's not true, it's absolutely true, but he says, well, I don't know if they ought to speak quite that way. But we do find that it is corroborated, both what the daughters say and what Jacob. And so Jacob rose, sent his son and wife on camels, and he carried away all his livestock, all his possessions, which he had gained, and he had acquired the livestock which he had gained at Padan Aram, and he's going to go back to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. 19. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep. Now remember, there's a 3 days journey. So what happens? Jacob uses the opportunity of its sheep shearing season. By the time he leaves and takes off, it takes Laban 7 days to catch back up with him. Why would he do that?
Doesn't trust him because Laban's a snake.
Is there fear?
Yeah,
this guy is not. He won't let me go. He'll force me to stay. He'll enslave me. He'll take away my wives. He'll do this. So he goes. Rachel has stolen vials of idols. Hebrew is the terrapin. It's images. It can be very small, like you would put in a sack, and it appears that Rachel did this. In another place, you might remember Michael and David. They were hunting for David. David got to slip away, and Michael went and took the terrapin, the idol, and put it in the bed and covered it up so they would think that David was still there. So it can be a full-size, or it can be a small. This one appears to be small because Rachel sits upon it and all. But the idea is that it's an image of some kind. And Jacob stole away, unknown to Laban the Syrian. This is an idiom, and they're interpreting it in a little different way than I would. It literally means Jacob stole the heart of Laban the Syrian, and that he did not tell him that he intended to flee, and so he fled with all that he had, and he rose and crossed the river and headed toward the mountains of Gilead. I think it's intended to be this kind of idiom that has more meaning in it than you would expect. Jacob stole away the heart of Laban the Syrian. If someone steals your heart, what does that mean? Something that's super important to you. What did Jacob steal? What was the heart of Laban that he stole away?
Well, it was not his daughters.
And it sounds like if anyone would say this, any father would say this, you would say it was his daughters. But we know from the story that it's
the household idols.
It sounds good.
I would guess power and control.
Maybe.
Over others.
He still thinks that all of Jacob's sheep and goats and all are still his.
He had a honeypot in Jacob.
Yeah.
And guess what? I have this guy here and everything's blessed according to me. I don't have a word. Now, I'm going to lose him. And didn't tell him and went away. Obviously, there is more going on here. Verse 22, let's keep going. And Laban was told on the third day that Jacob had fled. Then he took his brethren with him, pursued him for 7 days' journey. He overtook him in the mountains of Gilead. But God had come to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said to him, "Be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad." So what do we have? He comes across. He was staying in Paddan Aram. He crosses over the river of the Euphrates. This is considered the promised land now, and so he's kind of left behind that land. He's going to go to the other. He's gotten across. He's kind of out of there. But Laban, and it takes him, again, he's got a head start on him, and so he's pursuing him. God tells him, don't speak a word to him. Neither gonna, implying not only are you not going to harm him, but be careful what you say. That's what he says to him. God is averting a disaster that could happen. The God who had promised to overtake him. Verse 25. So Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountains, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mountains of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done that you have stolen away unknown to me? You have stolen my heart away from me, and you have carried away my daughters like captives taken with the sword. Why did you flee secretly and steal away from me and not tell me? For I might have sent you away with joy and song, with timbrels and harps, and you did not allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters." Oh, man, I'm just torn up about this. Now that you have done foolishly in so doing, it is in my power to do you harm. Wow. But the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. And now you are surely gone because you greatly long for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods? 31, then Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid. For I said, perhaps you would take your daughters from me by force. With whomever you find your gods, do not let him live. In the presence of our brethren, identify what I have of yours. Take it with you. For Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. Jacob says, why did you do this? Because I feared you. Rightly so?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he just threatened. He said, you know, I can do you harm. Wow. Exactly. All of this words sounds good. I mean, if it was anyone else, if it actually meant it, if it was normal. But no, I mean, he didn't give him anything. He wasn't going to send him away. He would have enslaved him. He would have... all of the words. And yet, when you look at the outwardness, you look at this and kind of go, well, Jacob did kind of run away. You can see how it turns what? It takes and flips it over. This is what hypocrisy does. And those who are true always look bad, though they haven't done wrong in doing those things. And yet, here he is going. Interesting enough, I would have harmed you if God didn't say... is he following? God said, "Don't say an evil word against him." Is Laban actually?
Well, I would have, but God told me not to. So I'm so good now. I'm not going to do that.
Yes. Oh, I exactly. And worse than that, Jacob, you stole my God. My prayers and my worship and my devotion. Jacob has lived with this guy for 20 years. You think he is a devout worshiper? Do you think he's even a devout idol worshiper? I think the household gods were made of silver and gold. I mean, just... Jacob overspeaks, although... I does tell him he's afraid. He does say, good, tell me what I have that's yours. There are times in which you vouch for your own innocence. No, it's not that I'm not a sinner, but, you know, did I steal? No! Tell me what I have that's yours. You're making these great claims that I took all this stuff from you. What did I take? Name it. And now you tell me about these guns. If anybody has them, let them die. He doesn't know that Rachel had them. We'll deal with that on another time. Laban went into Jacob's tent, into Leah's tent, and into the two maids' tents, but he did not find them. He went out of Leah's tent, entered Rachel's tent. Now, Rachel had taken them, so I just put them in the camel saddle and sat on them. Laban searched all around the tents, did not find them. She said to her father, let it not displease my lord, I cannot rise before you, for the manner of women is with me. She's menstruating, he says. And he searched, but did not find the household idols. So, again, tell me what I've stolen. What does Laban do? He searches every tent. Is this what a father-in-law does? Really? No, I mean, if there's, you know, if I've been caught doing drugs and now you want to search my room for drugs, okay. But is there anything? No, what do we see? This guy is crazy. And that's what he is doing. Jacob was angry. Rightfully so. He's trying to get out of there. He said, I would have harmed you. Now I'm going to search everything you have in order to do it. I don't believe a word you say. Jacob answered and said, what is my trespass? What is my sin that you have so highly pursued me? Although you have searched all my things, what part of your household things have you found? You haven't found anything. See, set it here before my brethren and your brethren, that they may judge between us and you. I've got men, you got men, let's have them sit down. Jacob just says, I'm just trying to get out from under this relationship. These 20 years What does Jacob have to say? I've been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried their young and have not eaten the rams of your flock. And so I've taken great care. That which was torn by beasts, normally, you would suffer the loss. I didn't bring it to you. I bore the loss for it. You required it from my hand. If something was stolen by day or by night, I had to take care of it. There I was in the day. The drought consumed me. The frost by night. My sleep departed. I worked very hard. Thus I've been in your house 20 years. I served you 14 years for your two daughters, 6 years for your flock. I've changed, yet you've changed my wages 10 times. And so he really does say, listen, here's what's going on. You're the one. It's not me. So why is Laban why is he so suspicious of Jacob?
Because he expects other people to be like him.
Exactly. Jacob says, unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night. He says, here's what would happen. It is quite unusual. He calls him the fear of Isaac. The God of my father, the God of Abraham, we expect him to say the God of Isaac. And he replaces the word God with the word fear. And he does that a little bit later. And refer to him as the fear of Isaac concerning this. Last point, and then we'll come back to some of the things and wrap it up next time. But the last point is this. The law and the gospel. Three uses of the law. What are they?
Curb, a mirror, and a guide.
Curb, mirror, and a guide. A guide is for believers so that when we say, how do I please God, what should I do? He says this, and that will guide me in my life. The mirror is that it might be put before my face and that I might see my sin. What is the curb? On both sides of the street are a curb, so that what?
Put you in the middle.
I don't want you to go too far. Who's the curb for? Unbelievers. The curb is for unbelievers. Why? It is this law and the threat of punishment that somewhat keeps them in the middle and going too far. Laban was given the law that it might bring the fear of God into him. Does Laban obey? Does the law of God actually change people?
No.
But it does, you know, I'll push a little bit, but it keeps Laban from killing Jacob, doing whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Laban appears, you know, kind of says, yeah, God tell me this one. That's why I'm acting the way. He's still being a rotten scum. And he's still speaking evil, but he's not going as far as he would like. And guess what? He's using the entire time to make it appear that Jacob is the problem and not Laban. And so we find that the law doesn't really change anyone. And when we get to the end of this story, we're going to find that they depart. It's not because Laban has confessed his sin. It's not because anything has happened. What has happened is that God has protected Jacob and allowed him to escape. Because he was in slavery.
Kind of a hard lesson for Jacob to learn, though. I mean, he really deceived his family initially, and now for 20 years. God watched over him and blessed him, but it was one of those, he probably didn't see it at the time, because he had to suffer through a lot. But wow, what he learned through those 20 years. Changed him. God.
It does. You see him being treated with deception and very poorly, and yet God has brought him out. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you do indeed watch over us on our journeys. And we ask, dear Lord, that you might teach us as well, that we might turn away from the, vices that we have grown up with. We ask that you would create a new heart in us, that you would lead us to trust in you in all things, and that where we have failed, that we might hold to that Savior, Jesus Christ, who has forgiven us in all things. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.